Welcome to Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. I'm your host, Julie Otaku. This is a podcast about blackness and its many intersections ranging from politics to fashion, music to activism, academia to art, sex work to healthcare, and so on and so forth. Guest appearances from professionals in their respective fields will provide insight and unique perspectives to the issues discussed. Sit back, listen, laugh, think, and consider new perspectives as you join me across the mic. Hello and welcome to another episode of Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. I'm your host, Julie Otaku, and today I'm here with one, Amaru Jones. He is president of Leaders of the New School. He currently works in local government. He's a community activist. All of this at the age of 24, and he's looking to make a major change in his immediate community and the world at large, should the ambition strike him. Amaru, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, man. I'm happy to be here, man. Thank you.
No problem at all. Now, I know you just locally because we both reside in Huntington. I went to Wall Women High School. You went to Huntington High School, right?
Yeah.
And I remember in 2020 when everything was hitting the fan at once, there was the protest. There was a protest that you led with some close friends of yours, and that actually got a huge crowd, a huge following here locally, and it kind of put your name on the map. And then I saw soon after you began Leaders of the New School. What really drove you to start, one, have the protest? Because that's no small undertaking. That could get out of hand really, really, really easily. And then Absolutely. What pushed you past that to then begin Leaders of the New School?
So one of the major things that made us like really push the protest, there was an individual, a kid, that he was already leading a protest. So I was with about four or five friends. We were like, yo, let's go down there. Let's try to, you know, participate. We see the cause that we were all marching for. So we were like, let's make a change. So we started protesting that first day and we were excited. It was like a great time. Like we felt like we were making a step in the right direction. And then, you know, locally, there was a restaurant owner that made some remarks.
I remember that. If you remember the name, call him out. Because what we're not going to do is miss out on an opportunity to let the people know where not to go.
Yes. So the owner of a restaurant, I also don't want to even give them like the time of day.
Not even the time of day. Copy. I like that.
Because I was like, that's a lot of negative energy. Some of the things that were said that were just beneath us, and it's in the past, but something I'll never forget. He was talked about, you know, that he was going to throw maybe watermelons at us.
Watermelons at the protesters, and then what the protesters do to him. Establishment.
Yeah. So the next day, my friends and I, we all saw the video together and we were like, you know what? Next day, let's actually bring watermelons to his establishment. It was started by an individual that was driving by and he put watermelons in front of his establishment and we just followed suit. And my friends and I, we led this one. Mm-hmm. And we kind of pushed and we seen the community come together. We seen people from all different races finally see, I guess, through the perspective and the lens of what it's like for an individual that did something even peaceful. And we still got the reaction. And it showed people's true colors. It showed how strong our community can be together. There was a lot of people that reached out to me that I thought would never reach out to me and was in support with what my group and I was doing. So we did that. And after that, man, we just took off on the ground running. We had some individuals in the group that we, you know what, let's make a team. Let's push forward and try to push this agenda of just trying to make sure that a lot of the injustices in the community, either politically, socially, economically, can be helped in some way or some sort.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember that. That was a hell of a time to be a Huntington native or resident, because that was just such an egregious and disgusting display of racism and bigotry on the part of that restaurant owner. And the reaction from the general public was pretty swift. And I was surprised by that and very much pleased, because he here, Huntington is actually, if you didn't know this, the oldest township on Long Island.
Absolutely.
And it's become one of the more diverse on Long Island as well. But depending on where you are, you wouldn't be able to tell. So even with all of that, you could even use America as you could use Huntington as a foil for like the greater America. Even with all that diversity, you're still going to have bigots. You're still going to have prejudiced individuals, racist individuals. And to see the allyship that came out in support of protests and against that racist restaurant owner, that was very, very like just heartwarming is a weird way to put it, but it was like heartwarming. It's like, all right, so at honestly, least yeah, your mind's in the right spot. Like you understand how wrong this was and you're brave enough to stand next to us in protest against this, because so often you have people who want to protest or they feel a certain way, but they're scared to step out.
Right.
They don't want to be on the face of it. They don't want to be visually associated for fear of retribution on like either a financial level, maybe their pockets could be hurt, like a business owner, like, oh, now they're going to lose business, or somebody could lose their job, or they could potentially get physically hurt. But when you have the community step out in numbers like we did that one summer, that was very nice to see. And you being one of the like prominent leaders in that, like you've kind of stamped yourself as that in how you stepped out last, now 2 years ago, Jesus.
2 years.
2020. Yeah, in 2020, yeah. Stepping out that way, you definitely set the bar pretty high. And I think you've done a good job of maintaining throughout that, because while the people don't know what has gone on behind the scenes, it is no easy task in you having started Leaders of the New School. It's a non-for-profit. Tell us a little bit what it's like the process of getting that established, how you came up with the name, like just the real grassroots nature of what you're doing, because there's definitely like a masterclass that could be taught in that.
Yeah, man. Shout out to my vice president, Randy Paul. He's the one that came up with the name.
That's important. That was a good name. That was a real good name.
Named after a rap group, of course. Mm-hmm. And also they have, you know, the ties back to Long Island as well. So he was like, yo, I think we should do this. I think that should be the name of the group. And everyone all agreed on it. Like, I think that's pretty much a phenomenal name. So going back to your other question of like just the grassroots and the preparing, like pretty much I still am. A lot of my board members still are learning on the fly. So like I said, I was like, it's pros and cons, you know, being 24 and starting a nonprofit. I was like, it looks good, but there's a lot of hard work that comes behind it. I was like, sometimes you got to make sure that you're doing the correct paperwork for your 501c3. You have to make sure a lot of the paperwork comes in. You got to make sure you're checking your bank account. You have to make sure you set up a bank account so people can donate. Yeah. You have to make sure that you're doing a lot on social media to keep people tied in. You have to make sure that you're also kind of pitching ideas on the fly to people to make people donate to your organization. So it's like a lot of stuff that we all learned on the fly like this. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't know that. We was like, oh, we forgot about that. Oh, we forgot about a mission statement. Oh, we forgot about this. And I think it all came from good nature, because it's preparing us for like being better individuals every day. And it's going to help the next generation. They don't have to go through this next hurdle. I said, they can see us, or they can ask us, like, how do you go about it this way? How do you incorporate yourself? How do you make yourself a real 501c3? And they don't have to do that. And I pretty much, that's what I like. I like living like my life for, so the next person doesn't have to go through what I go through.
Absolutely. And, leaving that door open.
Yeah.
And set an example.
Right. I was like, and you don't want to be that individual that holds the next generation back, because there's certain things that I have seen from either other places or as well as Huntington that sometimes we forget to give information to the next next group. It could go for parents. It could go from people in the community. And it's not saying they're being malicious about it. Maybe they just don't know how to. So, you know, sometimes I think that's just important to make sure that that next generation don't have to go through what you went through. And if you want to be like a real genuine person that really cares about your community, you know that you have to do that as pretty much like you have to in order for you to succeed.
Absolutely. That's so real, man. And you brought up a very good point about not just getting to the top, so to speak, or rather getting established and then keeping that information to yourself, because some people gatekeep information that should be general domain or public domain. And it doesn't do anything for the greater community, because that just reeks of elitism. It's definitely a function of capitalism, because if you get to the top and you stay at the top and you're the only one that looks like you at the top, you don't deserve your position. I stand firm in that. Because if you're the first and the last of your kind, so to speak, you didn't do a good job. Not at all. And one thing I really appreciate that you do is you make yourself accessible. If somebody wants to contact you, your social media is active. They can DM you. If they want to hit you up on Facebook, they can do that. And you don't make your, you haven't made yourself into some kind of deity. You haven't turned yourself into some kind of like local celebrity in a way that you, you think your shit don't stink and people can't touch you and blah, blah, blah. Cause I've rubbed elbows with such and such. I got such and such's number. Like I can't mess with y'all. I can't talk to you. You've stayed down to earth. And people can very much run away with the power and the like social clout that comes with the work you're doing. So I want to definitely commend you for staying humble and close to the ground, because you could just as easily become a villain in your exploits to become a hero in how you manage the power you're given.
Absolutely. I was like, and I wholeheartedly agree with you on that. I'm not going to say like, coming up, I was in this, our organization. I was like, we had bumps in the road. We had things that like people would think that we were doing something that we weren't supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And we were just trying to make sure that we're looking out for the rest of the group. And we were all just being genuine at the end of the day. But sometimes I feel like if you want to be in this community, if you really care about it, sometimes you have to give some information to certain people, because that's what gets people in the place that we're in currently.
Absolutely.
Like if they, if people don't know about buildings that are about to be built or anything like that,
or the park opening.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna go to that soon. So, but yeah, just like I walk a park, for instance, that this park wasn't even thought about for a while, for like past 20 years. I have older cousins that went to this park. This park was a safe haven for some people. This park is what certain people, that's all they had to go to. And a lot of people from maybe outside the community may look at it as not much, but maybe that park stops a kid from doing something he's not supposed to be doing that day.
Absolutely.
Or maybe you can throw community events there. Maybe you can do stuff. That maybe you could generate revenue into your community by promoting events there, basketball games, things like that. And that's all helping the entire Huntington Township. That's not a black problem. That's not a white problem. That's a Huntington problem. And you have to make sure that if Huntington Station or that park is doing well, it could only make your time here in Huntington a lot better, because you just want to make sure, like I said before, that next generation has it a lot easier than you did.
That's so real. And your name is in newspapers. It's online. It's published. When people Google you, these are things they can see. And I'm a very big proponent of legacies and like your impact and what your footprint is, whether it be digitally or socially. What have you done that can be traced back to you? And are you proud of it? With what you've been able to do in recent history, you are setting yourself up perfectly for success. You are a success. You're doing great. Your family name gains more cash socially and even potentially politically once you do start to make demands of the town and the higher-ups and the administrators and the legislatures in the community. They see that last name and they know. They're like, you know, are they related to Mauro? Jones is kind of a common name, but is there a chance they might be related to him? And here you are where you could maybe get preferential treatment. Is that the best? That's a question for another day. But hey, if you've done things to deserve a certain level of treatment and your name demands a certain level of respect, there's nothing wrong with that. That's merit-based. You did something. So in doing so and without Walker Park, like, people don't understand. And there are two Huntingtons. There are two Huntingtons. And for those who don't know, Huntington is on Long Island, not in Long Island, on Long Island. And that's in New York State. And if it wasn't for the boroughs and the high density, population density, like urban areas, so to speak, Long Island would be red, 100%. I'm pretty sure it is when it comes to like the voting with the primaries and the presidential elections. And you have Huntington and you have Huntington Station. And the nuance in that, people don't understand. Like, when you say you live in Huntington, some people ask Huntington or Huntington Station, or some people just omit the fact they live in Huntington Station because that has a certain connotation to it. Could you speak to that?
Yes, I'm glad you said that. My coworker, I was speaking to her one day when I first started my job. And I asked her, I was like, where's she from? She told me where she was from. And she was like, Amaru, where are you from? And I was like, I'm from Huntington. And she was like, by the train station?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, I'm by there. And she was like, oh, she was like, well, there's like a lot of things that go on there. And she was not saying it in a malicious way. She was saying it that that's all people see from this side of Huntington Station. A lot of people don't see like the beautiful community or the different cultures on this side. That's all they see is Huntington Station. There's always problems happening there.
Yeah.
But I will always Huntington Station. This is where I grew up. Like, I was like, I love where I'm from and I love where I was raised, and it just helps, makes it a whole lot better. But there's definitely, when people say like the difference between Huntington and Huntington Station, it's just pretty much just the different levels of cultures throughout the entire township. And it's pretty much just one straight street on New York Avenue that turns into Main Street, or I believe 110 as well.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. And I was like, you can just see the difference in the communities. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a lot of people may see that this side may be better than this side, or this side may be better than that side. I feel like that's what makes sometimes Huntington unique, is the different sides of the communities. Because I feel like sometimes you need that balance, especially when you're attending high schools and middle schools, that you need different perspectives of life to make yourself advance and show you, when you become a young man or a young woman or any person that you have to make sure that you have to understand different perspectives. So you want to know the person that you want to become. And I think that's what makes it pretty great though. The different levels throughout Huntington and seeing the big difference between all the communities.
Yeah, it's definitely something that carries a lot of nuance, because you have the differences in communities, and while that might be a good thing, like in terms of diversity of social, not necessarily, I want to pick my words very carefully. Diversity in perspectives, that's a good thing. But then you do also, as a Huntington resident yourself, you do recognize the opportunities that come from being from Huntington and then being from Huntington Station, the difference in policing, the difference in wealth, the difference in employment opportunities, the difference in like health, safety and security when you're walking around sometimes, depending on where you're at. And of course, like every place has that, but some places will never know what that's like. Like somebody in Dix Hills might not get nervous walking their dog, but if you're in the station, you might think twice, or you might stick to a specific route. Cause if you deviate, you might walk into something, or you might run into something that is less favorable. You don't want to deal with. So in us having that diversity of experiences, we also, in now speaking to greater local politics, we also want to make sure that these communities and the discrepancies that exist between them, we examine those with like a magnifying glass, question why they are the way they are, trace why, where they originated from, and then look to make it more equitable. Because there's no reason why, when somebody says, oh, I'm from I went to Huntington High School, it sounds way different, it's received way different than if somebody says, oh, I went to Half Hollow Hills, I went to Hills East, I went to Hills West, or I went to Elwood, I went to Northport, I went to Cold Spring Harbor. Because like Those are very, very different experiences. Bro, Chaminade, St. Anthony's, all these other like Catholic schools.
Absolutely.
Like these are such wildly different experiences from the kids, like where they are at home to who they interact with in school, that the stigma of just like wealth inequality that exists on Long Island, just between Huntington and Huntington Station, it's not like massive, but I'm sure if you were to look into like the statistics, like, oh, what's the poverty rate in Huntington? What's the poverty rate in Huntington Station? Oh, yes. I'm pretty sure they have those like deviated, because there's a reason why you have 11746 and you have 11743. But depending on where you are, it could be a completely different story. I live along Jericho Turnpike, but depending on where you are on Jericho Turnpike in Huntington, if you're closer to Greenlawn, that's a different story than if you're closer to, say, like Walt Whitman Mall, or you're in the Tree Streets, or you start going to Huntington Station. Like those are very different experiences, and the resources you might have available to you, like in Al Walker Park, look different. They get different funding. There's a different level of importance placed on them. So I definitely want the listeners to know that Long Island ain't all like glitz and glam. Like it exists, trust and believe. Like it might be better than some other living situations in other states, but or in other towns and cities, but there's definitely, we're still in America, bottom line. So these wealth inequalities and these like living experiences are very nuanced, and there are things that should be questioned and taken to task. Even when we're happy with how things are going, we should never stop demanding more. And that's something I very much admire about you, because in starting Leaders of the New School, you're doing that. You're demanding more. You want more because you went through Huntington High School. You knew what that was like when you were there. You probably got, like, if you played sports, you probably got people on the other team from whatever other school talking about, oh, y'all from Huntington, y'all are this, y'all are that, y'all are dirty, y'all are ghetto, blah, blah, blah. Like, bro, these are things that kids say to each other, because we're not completely oblivious to where we live and where we're from. So what are some initiatives that Leaders of the New School are looking to tackle? You don't need to give me the whole mission statement if you don't want to, but what are some of the things that ignited that fire, like back in 2020, and what has maintained it?
Yeah, so I think a lot of stuff that maintained it were the experiences that we were having with like a lot of the elected officials, having with a lot of community members in the community, police officers, things like that, building relationships with those individuals to try to see how can we come to some type of common ground to make sure that Huntington Station, especially when we're specifically speaking about the youth, that they're accounted for. For example,
that's major.
Yes. I said, for example, our new town supervisor, Ed Smith, he wants to, this is all like public information.
Yeah, this is all public info. We're not giving you the scoop.
Yes. So he wants to provide a sewer system throughout New York Avenue all the way down to Walt Whitman Mall.
That would be great.
Yes. And like I said, I always, that's why when me and him have a conversation, I was like, I definitely wholeheartedly agree with you. Mm-hmm. But me and him also had a conversation. What if people in the community start to get pushed out?
Exactly. Because infrastructure is not separate from housing. It is a one and the same. Those things are affected one and the same. Yep.
Absolutely. And thankfully that me and him having a conversation, he was like, wow, I never really like thought of that like perspective, that no one's ever came to me like, what if, or if like this can happen. Like I was like, people in the community in Huntington Station can get pushed out, especially if you put a new sewer system, new buildings.
Now there's rising costs. And what if the rent doubles because all of a sudden there's this new sewer system? Long Island, most of the homes here have septic tanks. We're not like the city where there's a central sewer system that takes care of everything. A lot of people got septic tanks. And if that thing gets overfilled, you can't flush the toilet. You can't shower. You can't like take a shower because it's flooded. So a sewer system could change a lot for a lot of people. And Long Island also has a flooding issue. You notice, you know, certain roads you can't drive down when it rains heavy. Right. You remember Hurricane Sandy?
Yes. Yes. And that's why, like, when me and him had a conversation, I was like, I wholeheartedly agree with you that we need a new sewer system, because if you don't get a new sewer system, you have stuff like Flint that can happen. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And new water, stuff like that gets contaminated. And now it's only one area that's being contaminated, which is Huntington Station. Mm-hmm. Now it looks like there's different levels, like a class are being treated, especially 100%. With environmental racism. So, mm-hmm. And he was like, definitely, he was like, this is why I want to push this initiative throughout Huntington Station, which I was like, yes, I definitely agree with you, because I was like, if that problem happens, that's way worse than the other problem that could happen.
Oh,
so I was like, sometimes
without saying,
yes, definitely. So sometimes, like, just using that as an example, that a lot of like the initiatives on like we push is that we're trying to like build these relationships with like the elected officials, try to get programs for kids, start making rec night just for the youth to come in and just play basketball. Even trying to get certain things implemented inside of the town, Al Walker Park, lobbying for Al Walker Park, anything that directly impacts the youth. That's what like my team and I
saw about. School programs at schools.
Absolutely. And I was like, we trying to just put our like foot down and try to pick out initiatives or try to see things a lot better and how we can help the youth. Giving out scholarships, that's like a big thing that
getting grants, funds, all that.
All of that. And I was like, just trying to, I don't want to sound cliche, but making sure that people didn't have it how my peers and I have it. I was like, growing up, I was like, I didn't have certain scholarships. I wanted to go to a private institution. I wanted to go to a private college. Had so many loans, had so many things. Yeah. And because of that, I had to transfer schools and go to another school that was a lot cheaper. Did I want to leave? Maybe sometimes, but I know that if I would have had the money there and I would have had the scholarships or I would have had the helping hand that I needed, I'd have probably seen it through. I would have found a way to see it through. And I feel like that's a lot of pressure sometimes to put on 17-year-old kids that they have to make a decision that can impact their life directly. So
definitely and their kids' lives and immediately their parents' lives.
Definitely. And just trying to make sure that we can just help a lot of the people out. So I was like, I can say that some of the, like a lot of town officials that have been on board, they've, with the Al Walker Park, they've been pushing it through. And we were just trying to see what's the next step to make sure. Because like I said, we always looking at the future, like, all right, this is the next step, but what can we do now? What can we do?
Yeah, now that the park is here, how's it going to be maintained? Who's in charge of that? What's the schedule for that?
Yes. And I was like, of course, sometimes you get backlash from people outside the community or even in the community that just don't know. And sometimes I don't even have enough like energy to sometimes let them know
back
because
and forth with them. Yeah.
Yes. And sometimes certain things that are said to you, you don't need to go back and forth with. And you just like, all right. I guess that if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. But I'm just going to speak up for my community regardless and speak up for what the town of Huntington needs, not only politically, economically, socially, but just trying to make sure how can we improve as a whole, regardless. Because I was like, when I had children here, I don't want them to feel like Huntington is one-sided in one perspective and there's different levels of class and
that they can't see themselves succeeding there. Yeah. They got to leave to succeed.
Yes. And I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that for any of my peers, my family, my friends. I feel like we got sick and tired of it and we wanted to make a change of what can we do to improve. And, you know, that's just like some of the initiatives that we've already had. We've had, what was it? The church day when a lot of the kids came, it was the food trucks, different vendors came just to show their presence, you know, just speak to a lot of the town officials, come and speak to the kids and having them see.
Yeah, us. Making them be visible, making yourselves visible, because sometimes it almost feels like there's these invisible hands like that work in the background and these that move all the chess pieces. And then, oh, the road is fixed. Oh, there's a new this coming. Oh, this building's up for sale. Oh, there's a new sign here. Oh, our environment, our immediate community is being changed like by the day, by the month. And we don't know why, we don't know how, we don't know who's making these decisions. And when they make themselves more visible, now they can get the consensus of the community and not just their committee members. And what you did with speaking to Ed Smith about the sewage system, he probably thought the sewage system was like a great idea. There was nothing wrong with it. How could you not want a new sewage system? But he didn't consider the fact people could be moved out, could be priced out of those areas because there's a new sewage system. That level of nuance and that different perspective, and that's all, that's just a sidestep. That's not even like super far from what he's trying to do. Just that little like extra degree of attention and care from you completely reshapes how he's going to go about the project, completely reshapes how he's going to campaign for it, completely reshapes what funding is going to be looked for, is going to completely reshape who he speaks to when he seeks to move this forward. And what you're doing is so important because without that perspective, things just get done with no care for or no regard for who might be affected. It's just, oh, that's another notch in my belt politically. I did this thing. Here's a project I did. Oh, who did it affect? I don't know, but I'm going to be up at the next primaries. And because I did this, I'm going to win. And they're not connecting with the human beings they're affecting with these signatures they're given on these different legislatures and these bills and everything. So what you're doing is you're like our one of our guys on the inside. You get to see things not everybody's aware of. You bring, you raise our awareness, and you definitely bring a perspective that is 100% needed. Because let's be real, Huntington, at least politically, is very white. And when people think Huntington, most of them think white. They don't immediately, they're not like, oh, it's super diverse. People think Long Island, they think very white. So us, us being in these spaces is so necessary, so necessary. And us being in these spaces and serving our communities and serving a purpose above our immediate political gain or financial gain is so important, because representation for representation makes my stomach turn. I don't care that he's there. What is Clarence Thomas doing with this position? Not much. He's not doing anything to help us. I do not want a figurehead for the sake of there being a figurehead. I want to know they're doing things that will help their communities and people in general. If you're there to just serve your role as an individual and not one from a community that you want to pay homage to, that you want to uplift, you do not deserve the position you're in. I don't care how hard you work to get there, because what you're doing with your power does not, it's not rising to the occasion of what's needed. And you're 24. You were so early on in a political career, should you decide to go embark on one. And even if you don't decide to do like big P politics and run for the board or whatever have you, your impact is definitely felt. Definitely felt. Because if this sewage system is installed, you were a part of the you were part of the process. You informed how that was done. That's major,
I wouldn't say like informed how it was done. I was like, I would say that he came to the community one day and we just asked questions. And I'm sometimes a little nosy some things. Oh, and me just thinking. And just thinking outside of the box. And that's that. And speaking of that, that was the first time like we formally met each other by that conversation. See? And, you know, I was like, sometimes like it's the, especially when you're talking about local government, especially in a local level, parties or like just grand politics, it really doesn't mean a lot. I will always be a component of that. Like it really doesn't mean a lot, because there's a lot of legislation that a lot of people agree to, and they're all different parties on that board.
Yeah, it's pretty bipartisan.
I was like, a lot of the times it's very bipartisan. I was like, but the thing is, I feel like sometimes you may need an individual from a different community than you, rather than a different political party.
Exactly. Because sometimes,
so like, I was like, someone that's from Huntington Station, regardless of whatever, however they feel, but you just need that perspective of the identity of that person. Mm-hmm. I was like, because now they have a different perspective on how life is and have, you know, how things should be ran. And I was like, they could still have values or core values between either political party. I was like, but sometimes, you know, it's 2022 now. I was like, I've dealt with a lot of different people, and a lot of people are starting to become more, it's just 2022. It's more new. A lot of people don't think the same old way should be ran. I was like, a lot of people should, you know, just try to like advance a little bit, try to, you know, broaden your perspective, try to try new things, gravitate people into your party and things like that. I was like, and sometimes that's a bigger helping hand than some, because maybe if you don't want to be in politics, but you met someone that works here that remembers you for being the type of individual you were because you stand on what you truly believed in. And that's why I was like, that's one of the things like I stand on, because I was like, I've seen it could be either party. And I was like, it could have made me upset because I was like, and just be frank, like just be honest with it. But I was like, the party doesn't define you. You define the party. And I truly believe that, and how you should maneuver around certain things, because if you just put the party in front of your name, I was like, that's cool. But what's the difference that you made in society? What's the legacy that you left on with your family that you can remember? And I think that's what it ultimately means, because at the end of the day, your headstone, or it's not going to say Democrat
or Republican. That's so real. That's so real. It's going to say your name and when you were born and when you died.
Yes. And I was saying what you stand on. Mm-hmm. And people are going to remember the times that you made them happy, and the times that you made them think about, wow, he picked me up when I was down, or he picked up the phone that one time when I needed something, or he gave out book bags in the community. He gave out things like that and didn't ask for anything back. And I think that's how you should go into this realm, especially for nonprofits, for political, economics, anything. You should always be trying to think about how you can make someone's life better, including yours.
Absolutely, man.
And that's my perspective. I was like, I truly believe that you just got to be you, unapologetically you, and just don't ever change, man. And just be you, regardless.
I truly and wholeheartedly believe that. Be you, unless you're a terrible person, in which case change. Unless you're a terrible person, in which case seek therapy, seek help.
Yeah. Absolutely. But
that's so real, man. That's so real. It is very intimidating sometimes when you think about what is at stake on a more global level. And you think about things that are out of your control. But I think people should definitely use...
Absolutely,
please go ahead.
Yes. And I'm glad that you brought that up, because that explains the real reason why I take local politics so seriously.
Yep, that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah, and I was like, a lot of people you see, like the global scale, you would think a person that's in your corner that has your back because of something and doesn't at all. And I was like, that's why when people say like your local elections, when you're choosing legislators, you're choosing all these different types of people, they should define the views that you have. Because once it gets higher up, it's really out of your control. And yeah, I was like, all you can trust is the person that you put there. So I feel like as your duty in the United States, I feel like you should always like vote. Like, I don't care. There's people that have passed away. A lot of people that before this, right. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're Black as well, I think you should even take it more seriously, because there's people that have literally died for certain things that you were looking for. And we take sometimes, you know, young people, we take it for granted. But sometimes you got to think like, man, like I didn't know this was going to happen, or I didn't know they raised the school budget $15,000. How did you know?
Because they weren't at the meeting. They didn't read any of the information. Even though it's public information, y'all, they be sending it in the mail.
Yes. And like I said, I was like, sometimes, and I can't get mad at all types of people. Sometimes people just don't know. I was like, I could be one of those people, like, I was like, wow, I didn't know this was happening. And I was like, sometimes you just have to make yourself nosy. And because at the end of the day, it's coming out of your pocket. You're voting these individuals in, and you got to make sure that they stand on what you believe in. And then you got to make sure that they are even thinking in a 22 lens. And I will always say that because of life is just not the same it was 20 years ago or 40 years ago. So, you know, I think you should definitely just don't take that right for granted, man. And I was like, I learned very young, like not to, especially looking up to a lot of the people that have spoke about this.
I fully wholeheartedly agree with you, bro, because even if things seem futile on a national level, getting involved locally can sometimes like quell the pain.
Right.
At least, you know, you have a hand in what happens in your immediate here. Community. These are people you're not watching on TV. These are people who are at town hall meetings that are at your local library. They go to food drives. They are tangible. They are physically present. You know, find out where your local town hall is. Go down there. Find out when the next town meeting is. Go there. Get familiar. Let them know your name. Let them know your face. Let them know what's important to you. And even if they don't act on it immediately, the human mind is funny. Just off the strength of them seeing you, they might be in, they might then be in, like enticed to do something, or they'll at least feel guilty if they take no action on something you told them about. It raises a level of accountability. That's why these online classes are sometimes so they were so easy to mentally clock out of. I'm not about to see this professor. I don't got to do this. Like, but if I see the professor in person, now it's awkward because they know I didn't do the thing I was supposed to do. So,
I could agree with you. I was a teacher, so
yep.
I said a lot of the students, those that you try to build that relationship with them, and it's kind of hard because they've never met you. Like, they can't see you. That you're not like. You can't help them after class. Well, of course we tried, you know, we had Zoom stuff, but it's not the same as a teacher that's standing over you like, boy, get this work done. And you, or girl, get this work done. Like, please do this so you can be successful. Because after you get off your laptop, I can't control you. Like, I don't know what you did.
Yup, that's it. That's it right there.
And I was like, all I could do is hope for the best and just got to just keep, you know, keep pushing that idea of like just trying to make things like just more tangible for people, going down to those town hall meetings and just speaking. Because sometimes, like you said, those they can see you and they be like, wow, this young person got like a lot of respect, or he is very just courageous.
Yeah,
just
to come up here. He's serious about what he wants. He's serious.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that and level of conviction is amazing. It's important to have.
And you never know who's watching. That's like one of the biggest things too. I was like, you never know. And I was like, that's a big thing. I feel like leaders in a new school, like I feel like blessed sometimes. Like there was a lot of things that you don't know who's watching. And they like, oh, I remember you. And you're the one that spoke at town hall. Oh, I remember you. You're the person that through that event that gave that money away for the scholarships or something like that. Mm-hmm. And people start to just remember you, and then they start to become more comfortable. And, you know, once that happens, it's easier to build relationships. It's easier to brainstorm ideas, bounce ideas off each other. And how can we become better based upon that?
Absolutely, man. Just through exposure, they get used to you. So it's no longer a surprise to see you there. It's no longer treated as something alien. It's like, oh no, you're a fixture. You do this for real. Like this, that wasn't a one-off. That wasn't a flash in the pan. That wasn't lightning in a bottle. You mean business. Henceforth, your repeated presence, your just consistency, that's something very, very important. And you just opened up like another facet of yourself that most people aren't aware of. You're a teacher. What grade level? And when did you start that?
I applied in high school, not high school, pardon me. I applied in college my last year. I was just looking for a job. And I can always say that since from junior year, I've always wanted to be a U.S. history teacher. That was like my goal. I love children. I love teaching history. I love teaching just teaching kids, trying to just show them a better way, just being that mentor. Because as a teacher, you wear a lot of hats that people won't talk about. You are a father, you are a mother, you are a big brother, you are someone that shows them discipline, shows them order, because sometimes a lot of people don't have that at the home, that structure. I was like, so you wear a lot of hats. So that's a big thing, like, I really wanted to push, is that I was a teacher. So I applied, began teaching right after the, during 2020, for that time period. Did two and a half years. I taught 6th and 7th grade, taught world history.
Those are pivotal years.
Oh yeah. 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 I was like, you got, you know, kids, you know, you're becoming teenagers. You start identifying who you are. You start to become more of yourself. You're not putting like on this, like fakeness about you. You're gravitating to different groups of people. So that's like a true big year that I think that if you get the right teacher, like I always say, I said, you can be anyone in this world. And I promise you, there's a person will never forget who their best teacher was and their worst teacher was in any facet of the world. So, you know, I just try to, do my best. And when I taught right in Springfield Gardens in Jamaica, Queens, at Success Academy Charter School. And it was definitely a great experience, because the curriculum was a little higher. The curriculum that I taught was for 9th and 10th graders, and they were 6th and 7th. So, it was a little bit accelerated, but the kids were bright, man. I said, those kids will always have something cool, special. Yes.
Wow. That's awesome. Where'd you get your degree from? Where's your alma mater?
Yeah, I graduated from SUNY Cortland. Graduated in with a poli sci degree, with a minor in African studies.
There we go. AFS, baby.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, had a phenomenal time. I transferred from Hartwick College to SUNY Cortland, and wanted to, you know, just pursue it. The reason I stopped, I guess, doing like the U.S. history thing, because I took a political science class and I loved every second about it. Every step from policy, discussing policy, how policy affects the world, different policies across the world, international politics, things like that made me gravitate towards it more, because I didn't realize how much it actually affected me here. And I feel like once you, especially as a student, especially in college or in high school, when you can find that connection on how it directly impacts you in life, that's when I feel like you understand this concept. Yeah. Especially like when I teach Black history, or I teach about Toussaint Louverture, and I start teaching about
Haitian Revolution, baby.
Yes, and I'm teaching about all these great philosophers, Queen Nanny. Like I'm teaching kids about this, and once a kid can see that in themselves, they can like, I can do this as well. And I think once you get that, I feel like you have the student for that point on.
That's so real, man. That's so real. How many Black teachers have you had over the course of your like academic career? Because I could count them on one hand myself. like K through 12.
Yeah. So luckily, I went to school in North Carolina.
That's where you're originally from.
I was born in Huntington, but then I moved like when I was like 6 or 7 months or 8 months, something like that. Got and it. I went to North Carolina and I grew up there. But I can say I had like quite a few, because a lot of the we have the HBCU is right near.
Oh, that's beautiful. You're right.
So a lot of Fayetteville State. So a lot of them used to just go like for student teaching.
Right to the local school system.
Right to the local school system. So a lot of them, I had maybe like six. I think I could say six. But when I came up to Huntington,
there you go.
It was a bit of a change. But growing up, I had maybe six teachers in every subject too, which I thought was
That's so fly. I couldn't even imagine that up here, man.
Oh yeah.
What was that shock like when you came up here and you're like, bro, there's like maybe 3 Black staff members on the teaching. Like what?
Yeah. I was, it was a culture shock. I was like, I came up here saying, yes, sir, no, ma'am. I went through that. I was getting made fun of, all that good stuff. But it was legit like a culture shock. Like, I was like, I've never seen like my school just being this diverse. I was like, not even with like just saying like with white people, I could say that like for Spanish people, like I didn't ever went to school that much, like with that many Latinx people, pardon me, of talking about like things like that. And I was just in shock, like, wow, I was like, this is actually crazy. I like this whole feel of just like just seeing different life. But yeah, I was like, it was a culture shock though.
Yeah, man. That's Long Island for you. That's Long Island for you. I haven't had a lot of Black teachers, but all of them have had like profound effects on me. All of them have had a profound effect on me. And it always makes me sad whenever I hear another Black person tell me they've never had a Black professor or teacher, like whether it was K through 12 or like even go through all of college and they never had a Black professor. I'm like, damn. So they had to like find it within themselves, or they had to like seek community locally, either in the school or like just amongst their friends to try and like just get through. Cause depending on your major, especially if you attend a PWI, it can be very alienating. It can be very isolating to be one of a few, if not the only sometimes Black person within your major. Imagine a graduating class of 300 and you're one of two Black people, or the only black person in your class.
Right.
Like that's very sobering. It can feel like you're not welcome in a way, because you might not feel fully comfortable in the environment. You might not feel fully accepted. You might feel like you have to perform in a way to make sure that your peers don't see you to be something you're not, or you play up to what they might expect of you. And you like just become the token without asking for it. And that's never fun. Like being the token is never fun. And like in a political space, I hope in Huntington, you have Black peers and there are Black legislatures and local leaders that you have also found either a mentor-mentee relationship with, or you at least have a kinship in just based off the strength you're both Black and can communicate and relate to each other. That way it's not like isolating, because local politics can be fun, but sometimes it's only as fun as the community and the people you're working with. So I hope in that regard, you have some form of community that's helping you like stay afloat.
Oh yes, absolutely. That's why I've been the type of person I am, like from teachers and stuff, always big smile on my face, come into class, always just a good sense of energy, because I've always felt like I never wanted to make a person feel bad. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's just like, it could be a flaw, it could be a good thing. But I'll see it as a good thing, because I just never want a person to feel as if they're not heard, or to feel as if they are not being understood, or like how you said before, alienated. And I think that's like the biggest thing, especially like in maybe like politics or just social life, is that you shouldn't make a person feel as if they're being alienated or their ideas are being alienated, because after a while it starts to become, people would be just less likely to come up to you and just not care, because they know the answer already. It's like a parent that always says no. So after a while you like, I know I'm not going to my mother, she's going to say no very quickly. And so why would I even bother? But I think you want to create that atmosphere that everyone's welcome, regardless of gender, race, anything, that you can always come up and speak to someone about anything. And I feel like that's like a big thing, like for my future, or I guess later on in life when I do get into like the political realm, is that I want to be that person that you can go to and just whatever you need. I want to see how we can make the next step to help serve the community. Because at the end of the day, I have to look over the community. And that could mean the entire Huntington Township. So I got to take everyone's problems as if they were mine and make sure that everyone is being heard.
That's true. And in doing so, making sure you take care of self and you don't risk burning out, because you are no use to the people if you're burnt out and stretched.
Oh, yeah. Thin. Oh, definitely. Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, sometimes it could be a flaw, but I know that when a person sees that how much you're working, a lot of people could respect that more. And I feel like that's, if you're doing your job well, you should feel a little bit being burnt out, I think. In my opinion, I feel like there's nothing wrong with being just a tad every day. You're like, whew, it was another day.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes a little, people sometimes need that. That means you're going in the right direction with something. Because if you're just sitting back, I was like, anything, you could, it wouldn't even mean nothing. You could be like, oh, that happened, and I don't really care about it. So, but, you know, just try to make sure that you're trying to help as many people as you can.
That was exactly, as you can. Not right. As you should, as you can. Because sometimes we, especially as Black people, we overperform and... You know, the old saying, like, we got to work twice as hard and be there twice as early to get half as much as our white counterparts. And that can train us. And I think that has trained a lot of us into a state of overworking at all times. And that's just where we idle. That's where we exist. Just this heightened state of being and working, and it can bring on anxiety, feelings of imposter syndrome, and can even send us into a depression if we feel like we're not performing up to par of what we want from ourselves. Mind you, we could be doing a phenomenal job to any and everybody else, but based on what we might want from ourselves, we get down on ourselves. And then we have to recalibrate and recenter ourselves and be like, look, I might not be doing what I was doing way in the past. Like, I didn't necessarily start out like this. My work is a little less rigorous than it used to be, but where I started was above and beyond my peers to begin with. So even on my worst day, it's the best day for the next person. We should recognize that.
For real. Definitely. I definitely agree with you. I was like, just trying to always make sure you put that best foot forward, as well as also trying to maintain yourself, because if you're not 100%, it's hard to make sure that someone else is.
Yeah, there's literally less of yourself to give if you're not whole. There's less of yourself to give. So you can't help as much as you would like to. And with that, like, man, I think Huntington is definitely lucky to have you. Huntington is definitely lucky to have you here in the community as somebody who is an advocate, somebody who is a representative, somebody who is an ally, somebody who truly cares about the community and is working day in, day out to make sure that is known and that is seen. And so that whoever comes up after you doesn't have a hard time. And they're able to assume the role and do a great job. They might not do it to the standard you did it, but nobody can do it like you do it. That goes without saying for everybody.
Man, at this point, I was like, I want the next person just to do it better.
Exactly. Just take it up. Take it up a notch. Like, even if you don't do it overall better, improve on something I was not working as hard on, I wasn't as sharp on. And I think intrinsically that will happen. And you're going to one day be a mentor to somebody. If you don't have a mentor, With the community and the company you keep, I'm pretty sure you have a mentor. I can say that confidently.
Oh, yes. I have a strong mentor that I usually go to her and we speak.
You want to shout her out?
Yeah, man. I give a shout out, Dana Beard. Yes, definitely a strong individual that definitely keeps me grounded. As well, tries to make sure you're doing this step correctly, because someone did the step just like you and they went this way. Just do it this way. Keep pushing. And I want to give her a shout out, because she must have seen something in me, and I'm definitely blessed to have her to speak to understand what can I do for my next step.
Yeah, that's a very humbling experience when somebody sees the greatness in you you're not yet aware of. And the feeling of responsibility and honor to then pay respects to their name and also to your ability. Definitely wanting to pay respects to your ability, because those are, depending on whatever your religious leaning, those are like God-given or like spiritually granted talents. Those are abilities that they live and die with you. And if you don't fulfill them to the best of your ability or in the way you deem fit, you might have some regrets. And I have a feeling that you're not leading a life where you're going to have a lot of regrets, because the purpose with which you take on each and every day is admirable. It's definitely got me wanting to do more. It's definitely got me hype. And I definitely really, really appreciate you taking your time out today to talk to me. I'm honored that you even picked this platform and you picked me to introduce you to even more people than you knew before and that knew of you. It's a huge thing. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, no, absolutely. I was like, we've been trying to get this in the works for forever. So
yeah,
I seen you doing like great things with the podcast, and I started seeing like how you was elevating and things like that. And I was just respecting it from afar because I just see just the progress of what you were going through. I was like, definitely made me even want to even, I feel like I reached out to you and was like, I want to get on it and just get on
absolutely
the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like earmarked you from way, or bookmarked you from way back in 2020. I was like, he needs to be on the podcast one day. I need to get my stuff together, and then we're going to get this episode done. And awesome. I'm glad that we've done it now. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're definitely going to keep in touch outside of this. We live near each other locally, so we could definitely like hit up the village, go for some drinks, go for some food, whatever have you, and chop it up and see what else can be done locally. And my people can meet your people in terms of like who we know, and then we'll see what can come of that. That would be a great way forward for sure.
Absolutely, man. Definitely. I was like, let's rock and roll.
Feeling really grateful, man. Thank you again. Thank you for coming through.
Of course, man. No problem.
And this has been another episode of Across the Mic. Thank you for listening, and Godspeed.
Thank you for tuning in today. Your listenership and support are greatly appreciated. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to use the voice message feature on the Anchor app or message me on social media. You could be listening to anything in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I appreciate you. Until next time, this has been Across the Mic with Julio Taku. Godspeed.